to worship and adore you in spirit and in truth. We ask all this, Father, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Please be seated. The scripture today you will find on page 594 in your church Bibles, chapter 11 of the book of Ecclesiastes. For those of you who aren't familiar, it's near the middle of your Bible, a little past Psalms and Proverbs. We'll especially be looking at verses 7 through 10. I'm going to begin reading with verse 1. So let's give heed, because this is the Word of God. Cast your bread upon the waters, for you will find it after many days. Give a serving to 7 and also to 8, for you do not know what evil will be on the earth. If the clouds are full of rain, they empty themselves upon the earth. And if a tree falls to the south or to the north, in the place where the tree falls, there it shall lie. He who observes the wind will not sow, and he who regards the clouds will not reap. As you do not know what is the way of the wind, or how the bones grow in the womb of her who is with child, so you do not know the works of God who makes everything. In the morning, sow your seed, and in the evening, do not withhold your hand, for you do not know which will prosper, either this or that, or whether both alike will be good. In our preaching text, truly the light is sweet, and it is pleasant for the eyes to behold the sun. But if a man lives many years and rejoices in them all, yet let him remember the days of darkness, for they will be many. All that is coming is vanity. Rejoice, O young man, in your youth, and let your heart cheer you in the days of your youth. Walk in the ways of your heart and in the sight of your eyes, but know that for all these God will bring you into judgment. Therefore, remove sorrow from your heart and put away evil from your flesh, for childhood and youth are vanity. May God bless to us the reading, the hearing, and preaching of His Word. Now, the sermon title for today is The Coming Darkness. That sounds kind of ominous, doesn't it? Now, there are times when we like darkness, like 3 a.m. We like darkness then, or those of you who work night shift, you get home, I don't know your schedule, but at some point, you go to your bedroom and draw the draperies, not merely curtains, and it's dark in there and you can get sleep. But most of the time, most of us anyway, prefer a brilliant blue sky in the daytime. And we prefer that to dark, gray, leaden skies. That's occasionally true, that after a drought, and we're concerned for the lawns, maybe, especially if you have a lawn care service, or our gardens, or how our friends who have crops in the field, how they might be doing. And so if we have a drought and then a day clouds over and the heavens open and the rain comes down, it's a good day. But normally we like the blue sky, the beaming sun cheering our hearts. And even at night, we enjoy being able to go outside to see the moon or the stars. And this time of year, you can be looking out and seeing the grandeur of Orion, and many of you know many other constellations. We can look off this way and you will see the Big Dipper and other circumpolar constellations. Some of you have good enough eyesight on a dark night. You can even see it here in Bell Center if your night vision isn't too bad. I can't see it anymore. You can see the Milky Way, our galaxy that God has made. And these things are so beautiful. Or maybe some of you have seen the aurora, the lights dancing in the sky to the north. Wow. So we can relate to what Solomon is saying here. The light is sweet, and it is pleasant for the eyes to behold the sun. Now, I should mention here that Solomon is drawing near to the end of his life. He is nearing the close of this book as well. And so things get much more, well, we might say overtly spiritual in the book of Ecclesiastes from here on out. Solomon has been a young man, and probably now that he writes this, he's an old guy. He might be, you know, almost 70 like me. That's so old. At least I used to think so. And so he has some very pertinent observations. First of all, he does acknowledge right here the sweetness of life and light. It's normally a wonderful thing to be alive. There's a song that was popular back in the 1940s, the late 40s, I think, right after World War II. Aren't you glad you're you? And in the lyrics, it talks about all the things you can see and hear and smell and feel and taste and all that. And isn't it wonderful? Aren't you glad you're you? Right? Well, it is a wonderful gift that God has given us of life. Yet, because of sin in the world, there are hard times too. I just quoted not long ago, just a few moments ago, from Psalm 34:19, that even for the godly, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. But we have all kinds of difficulties and trials and troubles. We lose loved ones to death. We have sickness that debilitates and hurts us. We have wicked people all around us who are trying to harm us and those whom we love. We have fools and scoundrels reigning over us. And they destroy the country we love. They destroy our finances. All kinds of horrible things happen. There are many, many troubles. Now, it may be that some of us will live long. In Solomon's day, you were probably considered by age 45 fairly old. Now, that's a lot of you people. And when Paul speaks, for example, of the older women and the older men, if you're 40 to 45, you're an old person. Moses wrote much earlier than Paul in Psalm 90 that our natural lifespan nowadays is 70 or 70 years. Those with really strong constitution may make it to 80. I'm just within 7 months of hitting that 70. Right? So some of us have known people who have gotten even older. Judy had two great uncles that made it past 100. Her grandpa made it to 93. You know, it's pretty amazing. She's got, as the seed corn people talk, she's got superior genetics. But however old we get, even should we reach the age of Methuselah, the oldest man recorded, that's only 969 years. It's not forever and ever. And so Solomon says here, remember, in verse 8, remember, if a man lives many years and rejoices in them all, he doesn't have trouble. Everything is wonderful. Every dream comes true. Every item on the bucket list comes to pass. Remember the days of darkness, for they will be many. We do not know when the Lord Jesus Christ will come again. But you can go to a cemetery And people's bodies have been lying there for a while. And they will stay there until Jesus comes again in the resurrection. The days of darkness for the physical body will go on for a long time. A long time. You must be seeking to glorify God now and enjoy Him now, because a long time is coming that, as far as earthly things are concerned, you've got nothing. Your eyes close in death, and they do not open again physically until the Lord Jesus calls you forth from the grave. You get to see Him with your own physical eyes, as Lazarus did when Jesus called him, "Lazarus, come forth." Now, spiritually speaking, yes, that will be the case at our death. I told you folks before of a lady I knew. She's with the Lord now. Lived down at Green Hills, and she came down from Bell Fountain down to Green Hills and turned left to go in, and she didn't notice a northbound car coming up from West Liberty. Wham! And she was, for a time, out. A few days later, gathered around her were her sons and daughters-in-law and her brother, who had come out from California. They hovered over her bed as she was starting to come forth, and she opened her eyes. Oh, I forgot to mention, her thought as she blanked out was, "The next person I see will be Jesus." And here's her brother. She said, "Oh, it's you." All right. We maybe think of loved ones that we will get to see again who died in the Lord. We may think of parents. We may think of dear friends. I just lost yesterday another classmate from high school. Not a believer. Some of you may have children, maybe that never were born. Or you may have little nephews and nieces. And you long to see them and look forward to that day, but more wonderfully, more gloriously will be the one who has loved you and given his life for you, and who welcomes you into your father's, into his father's house. An end must come and shall come to this earthly life, and you'll be in the long darkness. All that is to come in the future of this world is meaningless to the one who's dead. And so on your deathbed, and it shall come, unless Jesus comes first, you won't be worried anymore about if the Reds will ever win a division, or Ohio State will ever again beat Michigan, or what's going to happen to the Chinese communists, and what's going to happen. You don't worry about that because you're in heaven. You old people, old like me, need to remember this. Now, I want you to notice something here. Solomon is moved by the Holy Spirit to say that the days of darkness shall be many. But for us who are in Jesus Christ, they shall not be forever. For those not in Christ, yeah, there's the everlasting darkness, but not for us. For after darkness shall come dawning that does not end. Well, what about you young people, you young adults with your young children, and you kids? What about you? Well, there's a warning here for you too. Rejoice, O young man, and you young women and girls, this applies to you too, in your youth, and let your heart cheer you in the days of your youth. Walk in the ways of your heart and in the light of your eyes. But know that for all these, God will bring you into judgment. Therefore, remove sorrow from your heart and put away evil from your flesh, for childhood and youth are vanity. Okay, Solomon used to be young. In fact, I used to be. I used to be a little kid. You little kids may think that's weird that Mr. Pockris used to be a little kid, but it's true. It's true. I even have pictures to prove it that my dad or my mom or somebody took. Right. One of my favorite pictures from back then is when I was less than a year old and my dad is holding me in the rocking chair that he used to rock me and then my sister to sleep in, and we still have that rocking chair. And I was just a little guy. I sometimes talk about being a kid alumnus. Right. So you kids have never been old people, but we old people, every one of us have been little kids once. Now, he speaks here in verse 9 in a very ironic and sarcastic sort of way. This is not advice. This is a warning. He's basically saying, you want to do what you want? You want to go with the modern slogan, you be you? You want to go along with you only live once? You want to go along with the idea of, well, follow your heart. Live your dream. He says, okay, go ahead. Watch what happens. You're going to be held responsible for it. Now, this is no contradiction to what we see in Jeremiah 17, verse 9, that the heart is full of deceit and that the heart is, it heads towards destruction. I just recently bought a book called Don't Follow Your Heart. And that's what Solomon is warning about here. Young people are full of pride and passion. We hear from so-called millennials. There are a few of you here. And some of you are so-called Zers or Zoomers, Generation Z. In fact, you little kids are what's now being called Generation Alpha. Starting off into the Greek alphabet now. Okay. And one of your little bywords is, okay, boomer, people like me are so out of touch. We don't know how to do things. We are not up with the latest on all kinds of cultural stuff. We don't know what's going on. We are not attuned to all kinds of stuff. And it annoys us tremendously. We who were born between 1946 and 1964, because we used to be in your place. We were the cool ones. We were the ones who really knew what was right, and our stupid parents hadn't a clue. They only survived the Depression. They only survived World War II. They went through all kinds of stuff. They pampered us, they treated us, they indulged us, and we rebelled against them, and we brought forth your parents, and we indulged them, and they've indulged you. We were cool once, you're the cool ones now, but your own children someday and your own grandchildren will think of you as old and backward. And we boomers can say, well, at least we can read cursive. At least we know what to do with a dial phone. Young are full of pride and passion. They follow after what they want. and they don't think anything of what is to come of what they do. But here immediately, moved by the Holy Spirit, Solomon throws cold water on them, a wet blanket, by reminding them also of the judgment of God that must and shall come. Now, verse 10 is not in the same sort of ironic and sarcastic way of speaking. Therefore, remove sorrow from your heart and put away evil from your flesh, for childhood and youth are vanity. He is pleading with young people here to set aside that which will only bring misery and grief. It seems hip now. It seems cool now. It seems fun now. But it will only bring misery and grief because it is under the judgment of God. You children have heard this a gazillion times, that holiness brings happiness. Sin brings misery. Take on the only things that shall give real and lasting, everlasting happiness. Submission to the living and true God. Remember, he says, that youth, being a young person, and vigor and strength, they don't go on forever. And they don't make you invincible. You may think that nothing can really ever happen to you because you're just a kid. But it happens all the time. Just a couple of weeks ago, a neighbor of Mrs. Soma's, of the Soma family, her parents were killed like that by a young man and his brother who at high speed came over a hill in the wrong lane, and they killed these two people and killed themselves. And they doubtless thought, I'm okay. I can control this car. No, they couldn't. And they murdered themselves and murdered these other people. Your vigor and youth will go away sooner or later. And let me use myself as an example. My hearing is going. My night vision is going. I can't run and play soccer like I used to. And there are all kinds. I can't think as fast. So there are all kinds of things that happen, and they happen to us all. You will start getting more sickness. You will start getting more weakness. You will have things in your body go wrong. You will have to take a whole raft load of different medicines every week and every day. You too will have these things happen. It is so necessary for you young people. And it is so necessary for you old people like me and in between. It is so necessary for us all to set aside our wicked ways, to set aside any idea that what we want and what we think is right is what we ought to do. Yield your life to Jesus. He is the only way to receive righteousness and to have the happiness of holiness. He is the only one who gives everlasting life. He is the only one who gives life that never ends. So, there is darkness coming for them who will not do so. Darkness coming that will not stop, and you do not know when it may be. There's two guys that smacked into the Soma's neighbor's parents. I rather expect didn't think that morning when they got up that this was the last day of their life. I doubt that Mr. and Mrs. Mitchell, who got killed by them, thought, well, this is the end of our life today. It's all over. I doubt that. We just don't know. Because as Scripture says, our times are in His hands. And so it is best now, as the Scriptures say, to remember thy Creator in the days of thy youth. And if Thy youth has passed already. It's high time that you yielded your life to Jesus. You are not good enough to get into heaven. Only He is. So you can only get into heaven through Him. Trust Jesus when He says He will forgive your sin. Trust Jesus and ask Him to take over your life. Trust Jesus. Then for you, after darkness, shall rise light that shall never go out again. Amen. We're going to sing.